Welcome to A Little Too Quiet. This is the Ferndale Library Podcast. It's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. Joined today by two librarians, one in the Youth Services Department and one for Adult Reference. Jasmine Parker and Michelle Williamson are here. And we're going to be talking about the potential for libraries to take on the role of fostering inclusive civic engagement for its teen patrons and teens in general in its community. We also want to talk about how libraries can help their communities be better informed, thinking more critically about the wave of information that they're encountering on a daily basis. And we're going to be talking about media literacy and what that is. Welcome to the podcast, Jasmine. Say hello.
Hello.
And Michelle.
Hi.
Yes. So we have two librarians here to speak about both of these topics, whether it's engaging our teens or whether it is media literacy. They have both become integral components of the role of the modern librarian. And I want to talk about that because we have two programs coming up at this library. One is about information literacy, and it's coming in April. One has already started, and that is Pizza and Politics for the Teens. So I think I actually will start with the Pizza and the Politics for the Teens. Jasmine Parker, can you talk about what this program and what it is and what inspired it?
Pizza and Politics is a civic engagement program that allows teens to be able to ask questions of civic servants. So when initially thinking about how to start this program, I thought that I would just want to keep it with civic servants in Ferndale. And moving forward in the fall, definitely wanting to open that up where, you know, if you're a professor or a teacher and you teach government or politics, you could definitely volunteer to do this program. So that's what it is in a nutshell. And they do it over food.
That's great. Of course,
yes.
Because teens, pizza is part of their food group. They're four major food groups. But you went outside of the library. You went into the schools to do this. Can you tell us about the first one and how it went?
Yes. So I went outside. I wanted to partner with the school because we don't typically tend to get a lot of teens who frequent the library in terms of programs. And it was such a cool program, and I was inspired to do this program here because I was reading the School Library Journal, SLJ, for the librarians who, you know, are familiar with that. And I read that this was something that had been done in California, and so it seemed really cool, and I wanted to try it out here. But again, I had concerns about whether teens would show to the library to participate. So I ended up having a conversation with one of our pages who was actually a teen, Mumtaz Shabazz, in regards to the student council teacher at University High School, because Mumtaz is on student council. And so she put me in touch with the teacher, just sharing her name. I looked the teacher up, emailed her. The teacher was ecstatic and shared it with another teacher. And so together they agreed to host us. And we did the first one January 22nd. And we had 27 kids.
Isn't that great?
And it was really awesome because Julia Music was the first guinea pig, if you will. She was the first volunteer to do this program. And was what was really awesome about it was I did some research to see what type of questions we should ask and compiled some questions together, sent them to the teachers to just give the students a hand if they didn't feel comfortable asking, you know, whatever questions. And then from that, they were encouraged to create their own. But Julia had no idea. So she's like, she sent an email to Jordan and I, and she goes, is there anything that can I be prepared in any way? Is there anything I can do? And we're like, nope. And Jordan and I were chuckling like, this is going to be fun, because they're just throwing these questions at her, and she's handling it. She handled it very well, but that was a lot of fun to know.
Julia Music, member of the city council, co-founder of Ferndale Pride. So I'm sure she can handle her own for sure. That's great. Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about today is how, you know, libraries are, you know, they're here to ensure that people in their community have access to information, right? And we talk about lifelong learning. And part of that is, I guess, learning how to be, you know, better consumers of all the information we're getting. And that brings us to Michelle. So this is not our first information literacy program we have coming up in April. You were a key component to the first one we did 2 years ago. So can you talk about why it was important to you, not only to step up and be part of that one, but for to, you know, take on another one?
Sure. So to me, the foundation of librarianship is connecting our community with factual information from trusted sources. Mm-hmm. My first day at the Ferndale Area District Library was November 9th, 2016.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that.
Yes. It was a strange day to start. I had taken a break from being a librarian for about 7 years. And so it was an interesting time to come back to the library world. And just sort of the fallout from the 2016 election, it was clear to me that the library could help fill this information gap.
For sure.
And that people were confused and upset and angry and just didn't know where to turn to get good information. So
yeah,
I wanted to address that.
Totally the Wild West out there on the social media
yes.
platform. You just
yes.
don't know what you're encountering. When did it dawn on you as a librarian that information literacy was going to be a key part of what you would do in terms of helping your patrons? Did you realize that at your earliest stage when you're like, I want to be a librarian? Or did you realize it in library school? Or was it something you encountered later once you got on the job?
No, yeah. In my first job at the Detroit Public Library, I was there from 2003 to 2010, and it really didn't come up a whole lot then because social media wasn't such a big deal then, and that wasn't the primary place that people were going to get their news and information. So it really wasn't until...
A simpler time.
Yeah, right? It seems very quaint now.
Quaint.
It wasn't really until I started here that I kind of put those two things together, just seeing what I was seeing on social media and knowing what we did here and knowing that we did have the tools and information that we could help people mm-hmm. with that information gap.
Yeah. Jasmine, kind of a similar question. When did it dawn on you? Like something like engaging your teens, interacting with them was going to be a key part of what your career wound up being beyond, you know, everyone thinks of librarians at a desk answering reference questions or building a collection. But talk about when that dawned on you.
I would say for me, I've been working with youth in some capacity for about 15 plus years, not in a professional setting, so in a church setting, ministry, vacation Bible school, things of that nature. And they've always been a part of my life, from co-leading youth ministries and things of that nature. I've always been in some arena with youth. It's not something that I've been able to shake, and I haven't tried to shake it. I just go with the flow. And even before I started working here, about two jobs before I started working at Ferndale in 2017, I was working as a paraprofessional in a school with kids. You know, so it's just something that I've kind of treated as more of a calling. Mm-hmm. And I try my best to treat it with care. I love working with teens in the sense that they keep it real.
Yeah.
They can spot a role from a fake,
mm-hmm.
you know. And one of the things that has helped me here greatly is when I was new and starting out part-time in 2018, I took the time to try and learn their names because this was my first part-time job in the library working at Ferndale. And I'm like, well, I gotta start somewhere. They're the next generation. They are so honest mm-hmm. and so fascinating to me and so moody, mm-hmm. but so am I, you know? And just being able to embrace them
right.
and to come alongside them and allow them to be comfortable with me. It's just, I have so much fun
mm-hmm.
building relationships with them just from all walks of life.
Right.
I love it. And so again, what I get to do here at Ferndale is the ultimate blessing because I get paid to do it.
Right.
But I would like to think that even if I didn't, I would still be working with youth in some shape or form.
Right. The quiet epic thing about pizza and politics is that, you know, you're preparing them for the life ahead to participate in democracy.
Yes.
And that just kind of speaks to the evolving role of the librarian and how crucial they can be to their community. And I think, Michelle, quick question. This whole podcast is about instances where people are overlooking the subtle assist that libraries can provide to their patrons. Can you talk about that in regards to information literacy and news literacy in this wild social media age?
Sure. I mean, we are sort of one of the last bastions, I think, of, I want to say neutral, but a truly trusted institution.
Mm-hmm.
The Pew Research Center recently released a study that showed that 8 in 10 adults feel that libraries can help them find the information that is trustworthy and reliable. For millennials, it's even higher. It's mm-hmm. 9 in 10. They also feel that we can help them find information to make decisions in their lives.
Yeah.
So we just really want to put that message out there. We're really happy that people already feel that way, mm-hmm. but we definitely want people to think of us as the first place to turn when they say, hey, this something smells fishy here. Where can I go to fact check that or really dig deeper into the answers?
Yeah, because I was going to ask, like, where else can we go in this age to find reliable guidance on how to find out what is real or not? Who's going to help us? It's librarians. And I just want to drop an Andrew Carnegie quote if I could. There is not such a cradle of democracy upon the earth as the free public library. Right? I mean, we're the place. But another great thing about these, we did a series of panel discussions in early 2018. This is the library in any community is that free and open and welcome space where people can just come and have a civil conversation, right, about these things. So that's great. We did talk about pizza and politics and how great that is. Can you talk about why is it important to you to foster inclusive civic engagement among teens?
I think it's important because I think people tend to shy away from politics. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we don't talk about politics. Right. And the reality is that life is politics. Mm-hmm. And I think the sooner that teens are given that information and exposed to that, the better. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really loved about the first meeting for Pizza and Politics is that you had, it was diverse and also just teens feeling comfortable to ask their questions mm-hmm. and not being shunned. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't any disrespect and cutting somebody off and, oh, I don't believe this, and no anger, just handling themselves very civilly and mm-hmm. just being very kind and considerate. And again, being civil to one another, but also feeling comfortable that they could come together and just be honest.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I also love that with this program that teens at University High School are welcome to come to Ferndale, because we're offering it not just at University High School, it's alternating from school to school. So we have the two schools in Ferndale. So this month it was at University High School. Next month it'll be at Ferndale High School. Mm-hmm. And teens who may not necessarily get to know one another or cross into each other's, you know, schools, they have a chance to interact in that way, bringing them together. And I love that this program has a sense of no matter what you believe, no matter where you come from, socioeconomics and all of that jazz, you have the opportunity to come and be unified on this level to share your thoughts
right.
comfortably.
Right. Allowing them a space where there is no intimidation factor.
Yes.
And they can be vulnerable.
Yes.
And vulnerable, just saying that, oh, I want more information on this.
Yes.
Michelle, that also goes for adults though, right? I mean, because there's also been studies that have shown that people think, and I'm talking adults 20s and beyond, that they are actually pretty good consumers of the news when they actually might not be, that fakes might actually trick them. So I think that the librarian is great because they're inherently, I don't think there's ever any intimidation factor for a librarian, right? You can always walk up to that reference desk and admit that I might need some more information on this. You know what I mean?
We hope so.
Yeah.
We hope we're approachable. Yeah. And I mean, there is reason to be paranoid. Yeah. There is evidence that we were manipulated mm-hmm. and there was interference and people were trying to sow discord. Mm-hmm. And so there is reason to say, hey, I need to learn more about this.
Yeah.
You know, I went to school in the 80s and 90s. I was certainly never taught information literacy in school. Mm-hmm. And even as a librarian, you know, I feel there's always more for me to learn mm-hmm. about this topic. And so this is sort of a continuing education, I guess, if you will,
for, sure.
for adults who really weren't taught this in school. And there's no shame in realizing that yes, this we have to raise the standards of our knowledge on this because mm-hmm. people are trying to trick us. And we do need to get better at sniffing out misinformation.
Yeah. And I think we're coming up to this first event in April, and we're really highlighting news literacy which is something that is sort of this subset of information literacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you just touched on right there about what news literacy really is. It's really just what we're being bombarded with day after day. And being able to actually be our own fact checker.
Right.
But yeah. There's something bigger, sort of an umbrella thing that's like media literacy, right? That's mm-hmm. above it all.
Yeah, so media literacy, it can be kind of confusing when mm-hmm. people talk about this because they sort of use media literacy, information literacy, and news literacy interchangeably.
Right.
So you can think of media literacy as being able to differentiate between different types of media. Mm-hmm. Or even just, is this marketing? Is this propaganda? Is mm-hmm. this an opinion piece? Is it news? Because there are so many different types of media now. We've got print, we've got online, we've got, you know, all sorts of stuff. So news literacy is more thinking like a journalist, mm-hmm. starting with skepticism, mm-hmm. which is great in this day and age to always start
with
skepticism.
It's not a bad word.
And we do actually, you know, journalists have been doing this work for a long time. They have verification skills. They have standards to test this information, to test whether or not it's rooted in fact. There are citations and data we can look into, so we don't need to despair. There are ways that we can be information warriors mm-hmm. and sort of battle this misinformation. So that's the idea of what we're going to do this year, is to sort of equip people. And it was nice to start that conversation a couple of years ago mm-hmm. with our panelists. But I think this year we were thinking, especially leading up to the election this year, that we wanted to really equip people with the skills to be their own fact checkers.
Right, right. And with Jasmine, with teens, I always, you might have a better perspective of this, I always just am overwhelmed by, I mean, I know that I personally am already overwhelmed by what I encounter, but teens must be on their phones even more than I am. Teens must be on phones even more than we all are. And I just worry. They're encountering so much on the internet, and they have to be as careful as we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I just want to say, not even a question, just admiring what you've done here, is everything you've done, whether it's the Read Woke Book Club too, and the Reading Rainbow, is expanding perspectives. It's... Can you talk about, I guess, a little bit about that? Is that that also became a part of your role as a librarian, and maybe there was other influence in your past experiences that you knew you had to expand perspectives once you got here?
Yes. So I got the idea to do Read Woke. Again, that was a borrowed idea from a school library media specialist
in
Georgia.
Community.
Yes. Reading SLJ, mm-hmm. School Library Journal. And I was just blown away by this whole concept of Read Woke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just thought it was so evoking as a title. And basically, it's a book club that we focus reading books that are centered around themes of social justice. So I'm like, if this isn't ever a time to read woke, it's now.
Right.
And I tried it out here last year in March of 2019. And I had taken some time off because our book clubs weren't doing well for the teens. So Read Woke was supposed to be the book club that was going to be the clapback mm-hmm. to the other book club that was not working. But by the fall, it trickled down mm-hmm. and the teens just weren't coming. And I'm like, I think that this book club has such great potential and I do not want to let it go. So I connected with one of the great teachers at Ferndale High School, asked her, hey, do you think you would be interested in this? And she said yes. Mm-hmm. So we just had our first one yesterday. We had six teens. We gave 8 books. So the very cool thing about working at Ferndale is that we have resources to be able to sow into our community. And we got a program budget this year. So that has enabled me to buy books mm-hmm. for our book clubs. And when I tell you, it was just so touching because one of the boys, Lighted Up by Kikla Magoon, was the first book that we read in the school for the Read Woke Book Club, shared that that was the first book that he had began to read, I guess, independently. Mm-hmm. And then I gave them the second book that we're reading for February. And he said that these are the first two books he's ever received. Mm-hmm. And so you think, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm doing this book club and we're going to have great conversation. But I had no idea that it was going to provide the teens with a sense of pride in being book owners. Mm-hmm. And you take that for granted.
Right.
You know, you just assume that, oh, I love books and everybody has access to books. And I left asking myself the question, how can how can kids read woke if they don't have access to books?
Right.
So it's something so much deeper. And then affirmations. I really feel like the work that we've been able to do with affirmations in partnership with affirmations is such, it's heart work. Mm-hmm. Because just forming relationships with people who have a safe space, who don't know you and have every right to be guarded, but welcome you, open up to you, and allow you to come in and to offer a queer book club. And we have so much fun. Mm-hmm. Even though our last book for at least December, it was a fail. Like, they were not filling that book. And it was really funny because we ended up not meeting in December. But just getting to know them and them letting me in, it's meaningful. And I'm really hopeful that the partnership with the Reading Rainbow that we're doing at Affirmations will lead to other things that we're able to do with the tweens, because Affirmation serves ages 13 to 22, but there's this gap of 8 to 12. Where are they going to be served?
Right.
So we're hopeful.
Right. And should be noted that the book you recently selected for the Reading Rainbow, which is titled Pet, was just honored with the Stonewall Award from the Youth Media Awards this year. Very notable. And Before I let any of you go, actually, Michelle, you can actually comment on this because, you know, you're both on the front lines of information literacy, but Michelle, you've got involvement in the public schools, and I think people read, I know I've read that there's like this crisis that school libraries don't have enough librarians, but they do have media specialists. But I think people overlook that you do have to have a library degree to be a media specialist. So there's all this stuff. So people who are in the schools, those media specialists are also crucial, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. And I am at the Ferndale Upper Elementary every Wednesday. So I help more with the book side of things and collection management, but I have been able to sort of eavesdrop on the classes in the library, and I'm heartened to hear that there is instruction being done on trusted sources, and they really gear them towards kids now. They are getting, at least in Ferndale, they are getting a good news literacy and media literacy education. They are being taught that in the library, which is great. Just to start from, you know, can you read, can you type? Mm-hmm. Let's start talking about, is this opinion or is it fact? You know, just kind of starting where they're at. So that's great to see.
We've been talking a lot about how you guys are working every day to make sure whether or not you are working with teens or adults, that they are as informed as possible. But is there anything else about your jobs here and just working in Ferndale that you guys really like?
I love getting to know the parents.
Yeah.
Just, it's awesome, the grandparents and the parents. And one of my favorite programs that we do is Uprooted, which is a music and movement program. And I feel like it's the program where I get to be myself the most, because I can be loud, which sometimes I need to tone it down. But I get to play really cool music that I play at home with my family, that I dance to in my kitchen with my family. And to see me love something musically and see other people love that as, you know, as much as me, and to get up and get down with me and moving, it feels like it's not even work. It's like, we're having fun. Mm-hmm. We're dancing it out. You know, it's just, it's awesome. And we offer this at the library,
right,
and it's free.
Right.
You know, and then I bring out that bubble machine, and I think that bubble machine is going to be the death of me, because those kids are like, bubbles, and it's so fun. And I used to bring it out twice, and I'm like, nope, I'm just bringing this out one time. That's all I got in me. But it's like, I feel like no matter how many times I'm bringing it out, I'm seeing those bubbles for the first time, just like some of those kids are who are coming to that program for the first time.
That's great.
The best job. I couldn't ask for anything better, because you become a part of people's family and they care about you and they love on you whether they know it or not. It's just awesome to receive and to give in that way.
I can attest, because I am at the circulation desk and I have to see the sort of the parade of parents with little ones come down the walkway toward where you're performing, and they'll hear you warming up vocally, and I can just see smiles start to curl on the parents' face, not even just the kids' face.
Wow.
So yeah. Michelle.
Well, for me, I just love making connections in general, and I'm really fortunate to work in a library that kind of lets me make this job what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. So if I see an information need, I can get the right book to the patron. Programming has been really fun since I've been here. We've had a great time trying to figure out what the Ferndale community wants to see here, whether it's music or crafts or information, and just being able to find an information need that our community has and being able to address that is awesome.
Yeah.
Being allowed to help out in the schools has been great. And I just love Ferndale. I love the people here. Mm. And it's awesome to see people here that I know or meet people, just seeing people around town and being able to, you know, make the personal connection, make that information connection. I'm so thankful to be able to do this.
Information connection. Doesn't that sound like the best Saturday morning like cartoon you've ever, like the electrical company?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the electric company. But, all right, so the Pizza and Politics, is that on the last Wednesday of every month, Jasmine? What's the plan?
So the plan moving forward is that I'm trying to do it on Tuesday because it came to my attention that Wednesdays are early dismissal days for the teens. Mm-hmm. But we still had 27 kids, which is a big part to the teachers and their commitment to helping us be successful with this. So next month, which would be at Ferndale High School, it's going to be Raylan Leakes May. That will be on Tuesday, February 25th. Mm-hmm. Is that the Tuesday?
Yes.
Yes. So that's when it would be. So that one's going to be on a Tuesday. And then the one in March is going to be on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and we're actually going to have Mayor Piana. She's going to be at University High School with the students. So
I love this because even if they just have questions, they get their questions answered. But maybe they run for city council someday.
No.
These kids, you know?
Yes.
And then the first in the three-part series on news literacy is on Thursday, April 9th at 6:30 p.m. Panel discussion.
We're excited. We have an awesome lineup of teachers, librarians, journalists, I believe, from the Free Press and the news.
That's
so
correct.
We just have an embarrassment of riches of information professionals waiting to talk to you and educate you.
There'll be a professor there who's actually written an entire book on media literacy. There's going to be reporters from WDET. This is a three-part series. We'll be splitting this panel discussion up over the months of June and early August, so we'll be picking that up. You can find all this information on our Facebook pages. We are at Ferndale Public Library if you're looking at Facebook. Our youth services will update you as well about all their events, and that's at Ferndale Kids. You can find information about what Jasmine's up to on Instagram. That is at Ferndale Teens. And the library's also on Instagram as well. So thanks for being here, Michelle Williamson and Jasmine Parker.
Thanks for having us.
Talking about this amazing and vital part of your jobs. I really appreciate what you guys do here. And this has been another episode of A Little Too Quiet. This is the Ferndale Library Podcast. It's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library, ferndalefriends.org. If you want to check out what they do, they organize cultural and artistic and educational programming here, and they just do so much to support us. So you could support this podcast by joining or donating at their website, ferndalefriends.org. This delightful music you're hearing is by a local artist. His name's John Duffy. My name's Jeff Milo, Michelle Williamson, reference librarian, Jasmine Parker, youth services librarian, Kelly Bennett's in the room here too, helping me out with facts that I need and keeping all of those mic levels nicely balanced as our producer. And we want to thank you for listening. Tell your friends about this. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a rating. It'll help us find more library-loving listeners. This is A Little Too Quiet.